I'm going to say to you that trials are blessings. Trials are blessings. When we are going through it, it doesn't feel like it. What are some things that trials help us with? To trust in God. Excellent. Anything else? What's that one, Char? Build our character. And I'm hearing more still. Strengthen others. Build our faith. And all those are excellent answers. When we go through trials, we are reminded also that we are not yet home. When we go through trials, we get to remember that God is able. When we go through trials, we also get to see where we need to grow. Trials are blessings. And so, like I said, when you're going through it, it doesn't feel like it. Because you're tested to the core. And you're like, you tend to ask, why me? But many years ago, it came to my consciousness that I should ask, why not me? Am I not one that is planning to go to heaven too? Should I then not be tested and proven that God is great? So we all will go through the trial at a different time. You know, I learned that Jim and Kim, they lost one of their close friends, Tammy. Cindy and what's the husband, Kevin? Yeah, Cindy lost her mom. There you go. And their mom, well, at least, you know, Cindy's mom passed away this morning. Death. I mean, sooner or later, we each have an appointment with death. Heard a story that death was coming. We'll use Elmira. That was going to come through Elmira. And so Pastor Muir got wind of it. And so Pastor Muir went out and hired the best pickpocket in Elmira. Because we heard death was going to go to a certain restaurant, you know. And so the pickpocket's duty was to go pick death's list. Pick death's pocket and take out the list on his hit list. Who was coming up next? And it's a good thing Pastor Muir hired the pickpocket, because when the pickpocket picked death's list, Pastor Muir's name was at the top of the list. He was next. Death was going to wait till he showed up for church and he was going to be taken out. And so, as instructed, that pickpocket moved Pastor Muir's name all the way to the very bottom of the list. That way, he would have more time. And so, Death actually hopped over to the Elmira church and, you know, saw Pastor Muir and said, you know, man, you know, you were next on my list. You were next. But, you know, you're a good man. So what I'll do, I'll start at the bottom of the list. The reality is, we all have an appointment with death. Amen? And we can say it and have a good laugh, because as Christians, we should be the last people to fear death. Because we serve a Jesus who is the resurrection and the life. So what? We're going to die anyhow. Some of us are going to die in our 50s, some in our 60s, some in our 70s, 80s, 90s. Some of us might make it to 200, but you know, we doubt that. We doubt that. We're going to die at some point, but the reality is, when we get to know Jesus, we're not afraid of death. I was thinking this morning on my way here, since I've been here, we buried Derek's mother. We buried Mac Dwyer. And you can go down the list with a Jones son. And you can go through this. We buried many people in this church since I've been here. And I hope I don't have to bury any more soon. Or I hope you don't have to bury me soon. But the reality is, we're not afraid of death. Jesus already conquered death. And so if we believe in Jesus, we know that even though we die, we shall live again in him. Amen. And so today, when you look at your bulletins, you'll see a sermon topic there, God empowered overcomers. And Jesus already overcame death. And so we're not afraid of death. Amen. And so what are we talking about when we talk about God empowered overcomers? Well, let's pray. It's already 12:15, and we'll get into this a little bit. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, today is your Sabbath. We have time. So we pray, Lord, that we will sit with the Holy Spirit. We'll sit with the holy angels. We'll sit in the presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'll understand what you want us to today. Give us the victories we need. Victories over physical health challenges. Victories over mental health challenges. Victories over sin. Victories over addiction to whatever. Jesus, we know that we have power through your blood, through your sacrifice, through your ministry in heaven at this time. We ask that you speak to us in your word. Each of us will be encouraged, and we'll find power in you moving forward. Take away our sin, O God. Bless us in your word now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, God-empowered overcomers are as essential today as when Jesus walked on this earth. It is 1,995 years ago that Jesus walked that blood-stained path to the cross. And last week, the Western world celebrated Easter. The Eastern Orthodox branches are celebrating it this weekend. It's amazing how people can have conflicting time for the same event. Amen. I mean, we go to church today on the seventh day. The masses are Christian. We go to church tomorrow on the first day. Who is right? God is. Who is right? The Bible is. Truth trumps tradition. And we always want to stick with the word of God. Amen. And that's why as Seventh-day Adventists, I'll tell you a little clue right now. Our pulpit is usually centered right down the middle. We usually have a scripture reading as a part of any worship service we do because the Bible is central to what we believe. As a matter of fact, fundamental belief number one is what? Amen. I'm in the right place. It's the word of God. Amen. That's belief number one. Right out the door. We're making it known that we believe the Bible is the infallible word of God. And by the way, when we say the Bible, it's not a version for you King James Versionites. King James wasn't the first English version, by the way. It is the most popular version of the Bible. But I use a new King James to print from. It still carries his name, right? Still carries his name. But I use a new King James. It's a little bit easier to understand. You don't have to say thou sayest to speak the truth. Amen? And thee and thou. You don't have to say that for it to be true. As a matter of fact, Jesus never spoke a word of English. We know we Americanized Jesus. You hear him speak with a nice American accent. Nah. When he was on earth, he didn't speak a lick of English. He might have spoke Jamaican. But Jamaica didn't exist at that time in the name. Amen. But the Jesus, he spoke Aramaic. And it's good that we get to think about it a little bit. Because, you know, every time you say Jesus, he's a blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy. Nah, he didn't look like that 2,000 years ago. That's not true. That's Leo, that's Da Vinci and all these guys who came up with that artwork. And it became the standard. See what I mean? Nah, that's not true. He didn't look like that. The people of the Middle East at that time did not look like that. That's just history. But the real Jesus we're talking about today, the one of the Bible, amen? Man, he loves us with an everlasting love. And he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he's, let me use a challenge, you know, he's daring us to make it there. And he's giving us the graces to make it there. The mercy to make it there. He's giving us power to make it there. And he says, I walk with you the entire way there. Amen. This Jesus is real, you know. It's not fairy tale. It's not make believe. Just start talking to Jesus and see what begins to happen to you. He hears. He listens. He empowers. He empathizes. And Jesus is calling each of us today to be God-empowered overcomers. When he took that path, that walk down the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, it might have seemed like a loser's walk to doom. But instead, it was the greatest struggle for liberation ever won. It was the anticipation of that walk that led people from the time of Adam and Eve to Christ's time to become God-empowered overcomers. It is a reflection upon that walk of Christ that has inspired millions from the time of Christ to our day to become God-empowered overcomers. So guess what? It does not matter what you have to face in this life. Enlarged heart. Tests that they need to do, biopsies. Even the diagnosis of cancer. None of that matters when we live in harmony with Christ. Amen? Because Christ is more than conqueror. We thank him this morning. He gives help and he gives victory. So it does not matter how weak you are. If you just turn toward the only true God, you will have victory over every sin and every type of addiction. Now, addictions are at an all-time high, locally, regionally, and globally. And so as a church, we need to step out in faith and launch more recovery efforts. That way, more addicts can receive hope through spiritual, emotional, and practical support. By faith, every addict can overcome. Every addict can have the victory through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. When Christ died for us, our victory was secured at the cross. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 to 11, John says, then I heard a loud voice in a saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Let's pause there in verse 10 for a little bit. Do you think Satan is your friend? Then why do we cozy up with the devil so often? Yo, that devil is wicked. Jesus says his only mission to earth is to do what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's on a solo mission. And make no doubt of it, he'll kill some people making them rich. He'll kill others with poverty. But his only mission is to do what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. It doesn't matter how good it looks, that's his only mission. And yet Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and have it. And yet we cozy up to the devil and we rebuff Jesus. I think it's time we begin to re-engage our mind and renegotiate our position before God. Jesus won the victory for us. Verse 11 says, by the way, verse 10 also says that the devil is called the what of the brethren? The accuser. And by the way, That's a legal term. The devil is a spiritual DA of the universe. He's there to lock you up into hell when those flames of fires will be lit on the earth. He's there to lock you out of heaven. He's there to lock you out of faith. It's a legal term. He stands as the accuser. He stands as a district attorney. He's there to prosecute you and make sure you don't make it to heaven. And look at how often he does his accusation. It says he accuses them before our God day and night. That's a term that means continually. The guy does not sleep. He stay up all night accusing you. While you're asleep, minding your own business, the devil is there accusing you before God. He accuses them before our God day and night. But thank God he has been cast down. Verse 11 says, and they overcame him, the brethren, the brothers and sisters. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Death before dishonor. Hebrews 12 and verse 4 says, he have not yet resisted against sin, striving unto blood. That kind of resistance. And in Luke 18 and verse 8, Jesus raised an important question. He says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? That's Jesus asking it. When he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And so we have to do a little bit of self-check. And ask yourself the question, the life I am living, am I living in harmony with God's revelation? I remember one time we went to a youth camp. And by then a number of us, we've read what Ellen White says about, you know, the whole health reform and moving away from flesh foods, meat. You know, and some ladies got up an idea. They didn't like us too much because we were pushing that concept maybe a little bit too zealously at the time, you know. And so what they did, they decided that they were going to do us in. And it was evil. What they did was wrong. They actually made food. They were the ones doing the cooking. And they mingled the meat stuff with our stuff. Ah, that's evil. They want to make an example of us, you know. But thank God we didn't get sick. Amen. These are people in church, by the way. Hey, some wicked people go to church, you know. I'm glad they don't go to Elmira. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, yeah, they mingled that stuff right in there. And praise God, that didn't change her mind. It only made us get more determined to go all the way with Jesus. Amen. So, any person who surrenders to God, accepts God's strength and rely on God instead of relying on self-effort, is the person that is set up for victory over sin and addictions. That way, individuals who were once addicts get transformed to become God-empowered overcomers. More than conquerors, Paul says. Now, when I speak of faith-based recovery, recovery that happens through faith, I am agreeing with what Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, it has inherent power. You know what that means? In the word itself, there is power to produce what that word says it will do. And somebody should say amen to that. So, for example, in John chapter 15 and verse 3, and I want you to open your Bibles to that one. In John 15 and verse 3, Jesus says something there, and I want you to tell yourself that today. In John 15 and verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I wonder if somebody can claim that by faith today and walk out of here clean. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So, if there is any lack in overcoming, it is because we lack being born again. Nobody's fault but mine. Our scripture reading was nicely read for us in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. John writes, for whatever, that's in King James Version and New King James Version, but if you go ESV or NIV, it says for whoever. So for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, our faith. Amen. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, do you believe today that Jesus is the Son of God? If so, you are a God-empowered overcomer. Amen. So, exercise faith in God. Be born again. Experience victory over sin and addictions. Overcome everything you need to right now in the name of Jesus. He has enough power to do so. Now in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You run into those people every now and again that, you know, really think too highly of themselves, you know. It's kind of sad when you run into them. There are some people I can call, I can dial the number, I can go cook a meal, and they're still talking. And they wouldn't know I'm not there. You have some of those. You're the one who called and you cannot get out. You can't even get hello in. Yeah. Think too highly of themselves. Paul says, no one among you should think too highly of himself, more than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of it. So as a pastor, I may have more responsibility in this church, but I am no more important than any of you. Amen. Amen. We are equals. I am not no more important than Mahalia. We are equals. I may have more responsibility, but we are equals. As a matter of fact, the standard for a pastor going to heaven and the standard for anybody else going to heaven is the same. Amen. Amen. Many problems are in this world, but through faith in Jesus, we are more than conquerors over them all. We are God-empowered overcomers. So, turn to Jesus. If you want to overcome this world's addictions, believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Now, Greek is the language in which the New Testament was originally written. And so there, pistis is the same word for believe and for faith. Pistis. So like pistachio, you know? Yeah, that's the word for faith. It's the same exact word for believe. So we need to exercise faith in God and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And by so doing, we can break every addiction. Now, so many people on TV are war addicts. Addicted to war. When I see Israel and the United States ganging up on Iran and starting another war of choice, one thing is clear. They are war addicts. To make matters worse, a certain person pretending to be a Christian prayed that God would guide the bombs and bullets to destroy evil people. And when I heard that, I said, that was itself evil. That was a demonic prayer. Depraved. Satanic. God's holy name was brought into devilment. How do you pray? To which God? Not the God of the Bible. Not this one. Not the God revealed in scriptures. Now, even those cruel tyrants and war addicts can be helped if they'll admit their sin, humble themselves, and turn to God in repentance. This world is filled with addicts and addictions. And as bad as you thought that prayer was, the addiction to sin is the worst of them all. The addiction to sin. All other addictions are side effects of sin. We should be roiled up against the addiction to sin and be the most eager to get rid of it. God wants every addict to sin and all the harmful, sinful practices to become God-empowered overcomers. The good news today is Jesus has power to deliver you. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you even now. Jesus is God. And whatever situation in life, whatever your situation in life, face it in the companionship of God's presence. Face it with Jesus. Face it with the Holy Spirit. Face it with God the Father, and you will have the victory. Amen. You know, Jesus paid the price to redeem us. He died the death. But sin did not end when Jesus died for us. We get to walk out of sin's captivity by exercise faith in the sacrifice and lordship of Christ and in his high priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. Jesus is our blessed assurance. Jesus guarantees victory over addiction to sin and every other sinful addiction. All you need to do is to love and obey Jesus. As soon as we die to sin, selfishness and self-centeredness, we defeat all addictions. You know, before Moses met God, he had issues, including committing murder. You know that story, right? We don't talk about it like that. Moses committed homicide. It's like one day, you know, he always knew he was a Hebrew, but he wore an Egyptian look at all times. He looked like a Pharaoh in training. And so one day he walked over into the Jewish hood. And there he saw an Egyptian beating down one of the Hebrews. I know Moses worked out maybe 6 days a week, you know. So the guy was well trimmed and well built. And he walked over to that Egyptian and said, yo, homie, what are you doing in this part of the hood? I said, like, who you think you are? Wanna be Egyptian. And by the time he said that, he was dead. Man, Moses was real quick. And Moses dragged him by his foot and buried him in some sand out there, you know. And Moses, who do you think he was? Who do you think he was? And so next day, Moses visited the hood again. This time he saw two Hebrew brethren striving against each other. And Moses, oh, what's up, what's up? And they say, hey, who do you think you are, wannabe Egyptian? You want to kill us like you killed an Egyptian? Moses said, man, the thing is known. He's like, I better get out of town. 40 years he was in Midian until the statute of limitations ran out. 40 years. And so, you know, God told him, hey, you're going back down to Egypt, you know. He's like, wait a minute. Wait. And he had every excuse why he shouldn't go back to Egypt. Every excuse. He even said, God, I've been 40 years away from Elmira. I don't speak that American language anymore, accent and all. I can't speak it, Lord. God said, who made your mouth? I can fix that too, you know. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to send Aaron as your mouthpiece. Go on down and bring my children out. And we know for the next 40 years, Moses led the children of Israel. And the time came when Moses was going to die. But by then, he had become a God-empowered overcomer. Moses was a human being just like us. And his case gives us hope. He took courage in God, and Moses died in the faith. Amen? But not only did he die, Moses was buried by angels. Man, you guys look like I'm telling you something strange. All right, let me pop that Bible out. We have the good book, right? Let's go to Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Didn't plan to tell you this, but since people look at me strange, I might as well tell you the word of God. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 34. It talks about the death of Moses here. So let's go over there and see it. So you know this preacher is not preaching heresy. Amen. Deuteronomy. So God took him up to Pisgah. That's why we sing, from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, we view our home and take our flight. That was reflecting on Moses, right? Verse 5 says, that's Deuteronomy 34, verse 5. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Verse 6. Speaking about the Lord, capitalized H for he. Verse 6 says, and he, speaking of God. And in the Hebrew, thinking, what God does not prevent, he does. And so when Moses here, or when the writer here writes that God buried him, it wasn't God himself that literally buried Moses. But our own prophet Ellen White tells us that the angels did. That was a very honorable burial. The word says God buried him. God saw to it that he was buried. So you realize we don't have to be scared of death then. As long as you die in the faith. Amen. No need to be scared of death. God will take care of us. No human being got to know where Moses was buried. And not only was Moses buried, but Moses was resurrected by Michael Jesus. And that's in the only chapter of Jude, which is chapter 1. And you see there in verse 9 and 10. When Michael the chief over angel, came and Satan disputed with him about the body of Moses. And the Lord rebuked the devil. And when that same Lord took on human flesh and came on this earth, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 3 in particular, he took with him Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. And who did they see on the mount? Moses and Elijah. He was resurrected. And Moses now live in heaven. Amen? So, we want to look now at what God said to Moses' successor. Who was that again? Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 verses 7 through to 9. God said to Joshua, only be strong. Do you think we need to be strong in 2026? Do you think we need to be strong when Trump is running America? Do you think we need to be strong when the Democrats come back to office? You think they're going to do any less than Trump? Once a precedent is set, it's a runaway train. And everybody's going to try to outdo the one before. So I don't care whether you're Republican or you're Democrat. It's not a good ride. So God is telling each of us today what he told Joshua back then. Only be strong and very courageous. This is a time that we are called for courage. And CJ, especially the youth coming up now, Malachi. Going to have some courage to stand for God. Because God is ridiculed. People don't want God. And so when you say God and stand for God, you'll be sidelined. You'll be ridiculed. They'll even pass over you with opportunities. But God says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. You know, you want me to paraphrase a little bit today? Do not turn from it to the Republican on the right or the Democrats on the left. Stay with the Bible, amen? Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall do what? Meditate in it. How often? How often is the enemy, the accuser, accusing us? Day and night in Revelation 12. And God is saying what we should do to counter all of that, to prep for all of that, is that we too, day and night, continually, should meditate in God's law. We should meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And that's about the only time the word success is used in the Bible. And then verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Why? For Yahweh, the Lord your God, is with you wherever you go. Emmanuel, God with us. God always wants to be with us. He wants to give us good success. But many people only want God's success and they don't want God. See these lying preachers on TV talking about prosperity? They're liars. And I will tell you from this sacred pulpit that they are not real. Phony. Bogus. Picking the people's pocket. Taking all that the people have. Talking about prosperity and they're the only ones prospering. They will not teach you all of God's law. They don't even try to mention God's law. But here God says, his way to success is going to follow all that God says in his law. Amen? So many people, they want God's success, but they don't want God. But all of God's promised blessings and curses are alike conditional. Love and obey and live. Ignore and disobey and die. So seek to follow God on God's terms and conditions. Amen? Many people want to follow their own terms and conditions, and that is arrogant. In James chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, James writes, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. It is our privilege and duty to seek out the will of God in all things. In God's will, we are unstoppable. We become God-empowered overcomers. God knows what each of you has to go through. He knows that. You know, and the ESV of 1 Corinthians 6 verses 1, 3, and 6 through 8 says, when one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? Verse 6. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Verse 7. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? Verse 8. But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. You know, it is observable that some people are addicted to lawsuits. And in the U.S., I heard one story of a guy who broke into a department store, and he fell from some high window, got some fractures, turned around, sued that place, and won. Huh? A thief. You try that in Jamaica, you maybe don't see the sunlight again. You're going to jail. Talk about you're going to break in somebody's place and sue. No, it's not going to work out for you. Yeah, crazy. Now, other people are just fraudulent, you know. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This is a very serious passage in the Bible. Paul writes, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. That's the whole LGBTQ string there. They're trying to make it look like it's special. The Bible condemns it. And it says, you're not going to heaven that way. Verse 10 says, nor thieves, nor covetous. These are people who are always jealous. Nor drunkards, that'll give up alcohol. Nor revelers, these are the party people. Nor extortioners, overpriced, will inherit the kingdom of God. So whether a person's sins are kept in the closet, or they are openly paraded, one thing is clear. Anyone who practices sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there is help. Amen. God is able to save from sin. And every addiction that is out there, God is able to save from them all. Given the opportunity, God will make us all God-empowered overcomers. And Paul says it right there, still in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now we go to verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Now, what are some key aspects to recover from addiction and become God-empowered overcomers? Number one, surrender to God and exercise faith. True recovery begins with admitting our powerlessness, and we surrender to God every struggle. And what does James 4 and verse 7 say? Submit therefore unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's a second point. Spiritual transformation. And Romans 8 and verse 37. What does it say? Romans 8:37. Let's take a quick look at that one. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. It says here, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So this verse highlights believers as being more than conquerors. God's grace breaks chains. Another step in overcoming, support and community. While faith is foundational, God works through community, primarily like support small groups in church. Let's see what Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 tell us, how we can overcome. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. The word of God says, brethren, if a person is overtaken in any trespass, in any sin, in any addiction, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Another point is the power of Scripture. Memorizing and appropriating Bible verses empower individuals. For example, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What else can we do? Here are some steps we can take to become God empowered overcomers. So, admit the struggle. Acknowledge your addiction and your need for divine help. Accept God's grace. This is divine help. Rely on God's power instead of on sheer willpower. Allow God to transform you through His grace and to break your bad habits. Another thing you do, connect with support. Seek out godly counsel, godly mentors. Carefully follow the whole truth, including the health message. Seek out holistic recovery. Amen. In our Seventh-day Adventist baptismal vow number 10, we all took this vow. So I'm just reminding God's children today. It asks the question, do you believe that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And will you honor God by caring for it, avoiding the use of that which is harmful, and abstaining from all unclean foods? They may call them delicacies. They're still unclean. I don't care what you call shrimp. It's still unclean. You could fix Mr. Pig in 1,000 different ways. He's still unclean. Amen? Still unclean. So it says here, abstaining from all unclean foods, from the use, manufacture, or sale of alcoholic beverages, even in the small amount. Some people say, as long as you don't get drunk. That's not in the vow. The vow says, abstaining from the sale of alcoholic beverages, from the use, manufacture, or sale of tobacco in any of its form for human consumption, and from the misuse of or trafficking in narcotics or other drugs. And we all said I do to that. We vowed in surrender to Jesus, knowing that He has all authority and power in heaven and on earth and over the entire universe. And one songwriter says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. Another one says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So to each of you who are listening, take your troubles to the Lord God in prayer. If you have any addiction, find help in God now. The church is here to support your quest for victory. God is here. He is present and will connect everyone struggling with addiction to Himself. There is victory in Jesus even now. So go on now and achieve God-given victory. Be a God-empowered overcomer. God is calling you to do that. And so as I move to my close, King David said in Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. See, we were all born into this problematic world with problems of our own. Satan is masterminding it all. But remember what we read in Revelation 12 verse 11? And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And I close at Romans chapter 8, 31 to 13, and I invite you to stand as I read this in your hearing. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we have the victory over sin and every addiction. We are God-empowered overcomers. Amen. Hymn number 264. Lord, we pray that you pour your spirit upon us. Renew your grace in us. Lord, may your glory beam from our brow. May we feel your power like Elijah did. And when we go through each trying hour like Job, walk with us, God. Give us the victory. May we walk in faith, rejoicing in you. As we go from this place, help us to go filled. Help us to go as God-empowered overcomers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.